days of your fathers, you were gone away from mine ordinance and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings, underline that. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, and ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Here in this scripture, this is the prophetic word from Malachi concerning the outpouring on the tithe. And it's been our foundational scripture, tithes and offerings. And it's been our foundational scripture in this teaching of lesson that we've been teaching on, preparing for your outpouring. And the reason why we titled it for outpouring, because our bishop declared a prophetic word from God that October would be a time where we would experience an outpouring in October. But not just that, but as a believer, we have to raise our level of faith to experience outpourings in our life right now. And so we've been teaching this because it's not just about October for the church, although October is a significant month for our church and a significant month for our ministry. Because, of course, we celebrate our church anniversary. We have our time where we'll give our fall offering. And this year we've declared it as our tipping point seed, where we'll receive our $1.3 million. It's exciting because of that. It's exciting because in October, thousands of pastors and their leaders come from across the country to be poured into by our man of God, by our ministry, and we're changing ministries across the country. And let me tell you, this year's conference is set to be the biggest, the best ever. We've got some things that we're doing this year that we've never done before. I mean, pastors from across the country, bishops from across the country are bringing their teams of people because they know that this is the place to be, and the Holy Spirit is going to show up and show out. But we don't have to wait till October to release our faith for it. We're releasing our faith for it now, and that's why we're in this series of lessons, because for every promise in the Word of God, for every prophecy, for every principle, there is a faith process to bring it to pass. That when I hear a prophetic word from God, I should, number one, be able to go to the Scripture and see it backed up by the Scripture, but I've got to be willing to use my faith to see the promise come to pass in my life. And so this whole series has been to stir you up in faith and to stimulate you in faith, to release your faith for an outpouring, not just for this church, but in your own personal lives. And we just gave the definition for outpouring, that outpouring is a divine move of God. It's an overflowing discharge of kingdom blessing, of protection, of power, of provisions that holds tipping point potential that causes the lives of those who receive it to never be the same. It's where God intervenes in your life. That I may be at one state right now, but when I've experienced an outpouring in my life, I'll never ever go back to that state again. And I don't know about you, but I know I'm believing for God to intervene in my life. And so this whole series is to raise your level of faith, to release your faith for God to intervene in your life. And as we're looking at outpouring in the scriptures, we're looking at the various outpourings that have been prophesied. We're going to look at the outpouring concerning power, outpouring concerning provisions, but we started to take this really in-depth, close look at the outpouring that's prophesied by Malachi concerning the tithes and offerings. And our bishop has so eloquently taught us on the tithe. And I've been a tither since I was a little girl, but to hear this all over again just stirred me up in faith to get back on releasing my faith for the windows of heaven blessing and not scale back. But it was just so refreshing to hear this time of talking about the tithe. And then we gave a definition for tipping point. We said the tipping point was a metaphorical statement that we were using, that it's the tipping point that causes an unstoppable chain of events to happen in your life. That it's that moment in time that something unique has happened that changes things immediately, and it sets into motion an unstoppable chain of events, an unstoppable chain of favor on your life, an unstoppable grace on your life. And we can see in the Bible the tipping point concerning the tithe. Our ministry is the better because 27 years ago, our bishop stood up and declared that we would no longer be New Light Missionary Baptist Church, but New Light Church World Outreach and Worship Center. And although 277 did not believe, 23 believed. And because they believed and had the faith to believe that everything that Bishop had said that God had given him in his heart and the vision that God had given would come to pass, we watched our ministry change immediately, and we have been unstoppable ever since. Going from 23 to 20,000 plus, we're taking the gospel by way of airways and really around the world. You know, our television ministry has expanded. So over 27 years later, we're still excited about what our future looks like, because our best days are yet to come. But it's not just in the ministry. You've got to raise your level of expectation and faith for tipping point moments to occur in your life. That because I'm a tither, not just out of mandate, but I'm trusting God to do something in my life, not necessarily knowing all the specifics, but I trust him to keep his word. And so today we're going to piggyback on what Bishop has been teaching us. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'm just going to pick up the ball and go from there, because the prophetic word that Malachi talks about is not just about the tithe, but it's about the offerings as well. And so to just get a revelation on the tithe is not enough. I've got to have a revelation and be willing to respond to tithes and offerings, because my offerings position me for a dynamic breakthrough power that God wants to do in my life. And the will of God is not automatic. And I've got to hear the word of God so that I can have faith for that area in my life. And when you look in the Bible, there are specific promises and benefits and breakthrough power that's attached to the offering. And I've got 2 points today, and every class has been a great class, so I don't expect anything less from the South location. Point number one is how that God responds to man's offering and how it's revealed in the scripture as a fact. Then the next thing we're going to look at is that man's responding to God's offer is really a matter of, it requires a spiritual focus. But let's deal with the first one. God responds to my offering. You mean to tell me that God asks me for an offering so that he can in turn respond to it? But let's break this down. Grocery store shoppers. How many of y'all like to go to the grocery store? Yeah. Some of y'all don't like to, but some of y'all like to. Just don't go when you're hungry. But you go to the grocery store, you push in your cart, you got your apples, your oranges, collard greens, yams, sweet, you know, cornbread, French bread, cheese bread, popsicles, ice cream sandwich, all the stuff you need and you don't need. But you got your little cart, you push. You're not going to push the cart out the door without making a stop to give your offering to H-E-B, Kroger's, Randall's, whatever store of your choice. Because you know if you push that cart with them groceries in there and you didn't stop to make your offering, somebody's coming after you. So we respect it in the grocery store that if we want to receive all the groceries that we put in the basket, we got to stop, give an offering, and then now they make you work to give your offering because you can scan your own groceries. But it's okay, because I want the groceries, I'm willing to give an offering. Even though milk has went from a dollar to about $3-4, it's okay, because I want the milk, so I'm going to give the offering. We respect that. It's football season. Texans fans in the house. Okay, you don't show up at the Reliance Stadium and say, I'm a Houstonian, so y'all need to let me in. I live in Houston. I am a Houstonian. I pay my taxes. I want to get in the game. They're going to ask you for what? A ticket. And a ticket requires, to get a ticket, it requires an offering. We respect the offering. You go to the doctor because you need wisdom for your issue, symptom, whatever. You want him to help you, write your prescription, whatever. But you can't see the doctor without an offering. And now, you know, it used to be you could go see the doctor, you know, tell them all, let them hear your heartbeat, do all that. Then they ask you for the offering at the end. No, no, no. You walk in, you give your name, they look on the computer, $25 copay. But you don't fuss about it because you want the wisdom from the doctor. So you give your $5 to $15, $25 copay because you understand if I want to receive his wisdom, then I've got to be willing to pay the payment. Why is it that when we come into the kingdom of God, we get almost this disdain and it's almost repulsive when we say that God responds to our offering? We respect it in the natural, and if it works in the natural, that man responds when we give an offering, whether it's the doctor, the arena, the pharmacy, the grocery store. When it comes to the kingdom of God, if I want the promises of God to come to pass in my life, if I want God's wisdom and I want God to intervene in my situation, I've got to be willing to give an offering. And the scripture lets me know that when I give an offering, God responds to my offering. He's not just like, okay, you did it, that's it. The Bible says that when I give an offering, God shows up. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6 says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. We want to stop right there. Because that's shouting stuff. God's gonna make all grace abound to me. But I cannot get the grace abounding to me where I really deserve a no, but God shows up and makes them say yes to me. I cannot get that unless I'm a cheerful giver. I cannot get the all grace, the all sufficiency of God, unless I'm willing to give bountifully. Because when I give bountifully and I give cheerfully, I now position myself for the grace factor to show up on my life. So I see clearly in the scripture that God responds to strategic giving. And strategic giving is giving that targets and names the seed for a specific promise that's established in the word of God. The 10% is good, but that's not enough. Today I want to push you to go to the next level where you're giving offerings that are targeted and named to get specific results from God. And the scripture says, if you want me to make some grace abound to your account, you've got to give a seed from a cheerful heart. You've got to be willing to give a bountiful seed, because if that's how you measure it out, I'm going to measure it back to you the same. Turn to Mark chapter 10. So although some people think this is not a subject to talk about and it may be controversial, we're going to deal with it, and it cannot be ignored, because this is the key for life to go to the next level. And I'm so glad that our bishop is willing to teach on controversial topics, because it would be highway robbery of us to know that there's a promise in God's word that will elevate your life, that will take your life to the next level, and not tell you about it. But because I want to see you tap into all that God has for you, we take time to show you in the word of God, deal with things that some people in the body of Christ don't want to deal with it, back it up with scripture so you can release your faith to believe, hey, God, if I sow this seed, I can expect this harvest. God says he'll open up the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing in Malachi chapter 3. We just read in 2 Corinthians 9 that he'll make all grace abound to our account. Now you should be in Mark chapter 10. And there's a scripture in Mark 10, really verse 30, that we like to read. But I cannot read verse 30 without giving you the back history. Because we got to back up and do some history study on this. Because this verse and this text that Jesus says comes from an encounter where he has an encounter with the rich young ruler. The Bible says that he has an encounter with the rich young ruler. Rich young ruler shows up and he says, Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, you know, obey the commandments. Do not kill, do not steal, obey your mother, father. He says, oh, Jesus, I got that covered. Psh, that ain't nothing. I've done all that since I was a kid. He says, all right, okay, well, go sell what you have, give it to the poor so that you can find treasure in heaven. Jesus asked him for an offering. Rich young ruler said, oh, wait a minute. Time out. Let's talk about this thing. Stop the press. You want me to sell what I have, all my stuff, and give it to the poor? Looks like I'm at a loss. And he went away grieved because he had loss on his mind, not realizing that Jesus was trying to position him for a gain. But I love Peter, because Peter was going to say what was on his mind. So Peter is watching this thing, and he's like, wait a minute, Jesus, how you going to tell homeboy he going to get something treasure in heaven, and I'm chilling with you all the time, and he gets the treasure in heaven. What about me? I done left my family to roll with you. Peter says, there's something wrong with this equation. Jesus says, verse 29, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sister or father or mother or wife or children or land for my sake and the gospel, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time. Not when I get to heaven, but in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and land with persecution and in the world to come, eternal life. This scripture says that what I give up for the gospel's sake, when I give anything to God, I can expect him to give it back to me in a greater measure, in the optimal measure, because we know 100 children is not a blessing. But what the scripture says is that there's nothing that you can give up for the gospel's sake. If you're giving up time, he says, I'm going to make sure you receive the optimum time with your children. If you're giving up, you know, your house, if you're giving this up, whatever you give as an offering, I'm going to make sure I give it back to you in a greater measure. The Bible says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for dismantling of errors. So we should be able to go through the Bible and look in the Bible and find the word of God to change our lives. The Bible says that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So I've just given you two examples and two scriptures where God responds to our offerings. And I know we don't have to go through, well, who wrote the Bible and who did all that. The Holy Spirit breathed upon the word of God. And I don't care if a man wrote it, a dog wrote it. I believe it's been inspired by the Holy Ghost that will change my life around. And when I look in the scripture, I've chosen to operate my life according to the word of God. But if that doesn't do it for you, let's go through and let's look at some examples. Because when you look at Solomon, he gave and God responded. Abraham gave and God responded. Peter gave. He allowed Jesus to use his boat. Jesus shows up on the scene. He says, Peter, let me use your boat. Peter lets him use his boat. And then he turns around and says, Peter, because you've let me use your boat, you gave to me. He says, now I want you to go back in the same place where you've been denied, the same place where you were out there all night and you did not reap a harvest. I want you to go back to that territory because there's a blessing waiting on you. Because I'm not going to ever let you give up anything for me that I know there's a need in your life and I'm not going to answer. And the Bible says that Peter launched out into the deep, and not only did he get blessed, but he had to call his homies to reap some of the blessing. Because when God blesses you, he makes you blessed to be a blessing. Peter gave and God responded. Abraham gave and God responded. Solomon gave and God responded. And then Hannah, she made a vow to God. She was in the temple praying. The Bible says she was praying so that they thought something was wrong with her. But she made a vow to God. She gave and God responded and showed up. So if God does his part, then what must we do? Because man's response is required. We have to respond to God's offer to give an offering, but we have to do it not just because I'm just doing it, but I can stay the course and be disciplined to do it because I've got a spiritual focus. What I'm doing, and when I'm giving offerings, I'm not doing it for other people, but I'm doing it because I understand my focus is on the cause and not the can'ts. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. See, you got to get your focus off the can'ts and get focused on the cause, because when you're focused on the cause, you can stick to it and have longevity. When you focus on the can'ts, then you let those determine how you're going to participate. So as a believer, I see God has this exchange and he responds to my offering. But I'm doing it because it requires, I'm doing it from a place of spiritual focus. The Bible says in Matthew 6:22, it says, the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, if the eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. My focus is going to give direction to every area of my life. So I cannot focus on the can'ts. I can't give because this. I can't do this because I got that. I can't give an offering because I got bills. When Bishop started tithing, he had bills that had bills. He had to pick which bill he was going to pay. But he did not let that stop him from participating the whole way. Because the tithe, the 10% is just part of the way. You got to be willing to go the whole way and give the offering. And he did it because he understood the cause. And the cause is what anchors me. The cause is what births my commitment that I'm not doing this because of anything else, but I'm doing this because I made a commitment. I'm focused on my commitment to honor God. I'm focused that my commit, this is how I demonstrate who's really Lord of my life. That is where my focus is. You know, I love David. David shows up on the battlefield. And you know, everybody is terrified of Goliath. He shows up, but his focus does not go to why he cannot take the giant out. He never focused on why he could not do it. But he started focusing on the cause. Because in reality, he wasn't supposed to be able to do it. You know, he wasn't really supposed to be on the battlefield. He was just taking his brother some lunch. He was not a trained soldier, so that said that he could not take out this giant. He had never been trained to do this type of warfare, but he shows up on the battlefield and he sees this uncircumcised Philistine. He says, is there not a cause? He said, for this call, I'm not going to let him stand up here and defile the army of the living God. Is there not a cause? You got to decide in your life, yes, I may have some situations going on, and yes, I may have some bills, but I made a decision with my life. I'm committed to this thing. I made a decision with my life. I've got to focus on the cause, and I was created to demonstrate who's really Lord of my life. I was created, and my whole purpose of having finances and giving is to honor God with my life. I understand that God is holding me accountable to do kingdom works in the earth. There comes a point in time in life when you move from the place of being a taker to being a giver. When you first come into the kingdom of God, all you really do is take, because you're sitting in a building that somebody else built. You're watching a television program that somebody else paid for. But I'm so glad, and it just does my heart well when we have Giving Sunday and I watch my age group and the people under me stand up and give their offering, because we understand we had a shift in this thing. We've matured to the place that yes, we took a part of the programs and yes, we were partakers, but now it's time for us to participate. How many of you were blessed by the television program? Let me clarify this. How many of you really heard about our ministry through the television program? Well, now you're a member. You get to hear Bishop every Sunday, hear one of the great ministers every Wednesday. You're hooked up. You don't need a television program. But you can't forget where you were when you needed the television program. Because when you first saw us on TV, you may have been in a church that wasn't teaching you the word of God, but because somebody paid for us to be on TV, you got a chance to hear the word of God taught with simplicity and understanding by a man of God or a woman of God. You may have been sitting in your house getting high as you couldn't, just blown out of your mind, and you were flipping the TV and you heard a word that caused a shift in your life. You may have been at the point of hopelessness where you didn't know what you were going to do, how you were going to do it, but one day you saw a man teaching the word of God and it sparked and ignited a desire for more of God in you, and your life was changed. But how can we forget where we were and how God delivered us? It's time now that you don't need us to be on TBN, and we may not come on at a convenient time for you, but I understand I'm blessed because somebody did it for me. Now I got to do it for somebody else. We got to take the airwaves because that person that's getting high needs to hear the good news of the gospel. That person that may be at their last and willing to give it up all and say, I don't want to do this no more, needs to hear how they can maximize their life no matter what state they're in. And I do it because I understand the cause. I benefited from it. So now I've got to make sure that I'm a blessing so somebody else can benefit. And then I give because I understand my giving, my seed faith offering, gives me access to the promises of God. When I give, I gain access to some specific promises that are attached to some specific offering. It's the sovereign purpose for my giving. The sovereign purpose for our giving offerings is so that we honor God, so that we demonstrate his lordship, so that we take care of kingdom projects, but also I gain access. I get access to the promise, and I get to watch God cause my life to go to a whole nother level. So, preacher, what am I accessing? Number one, turn to Philippians 4, because for a few moments, I just want to stir you up and remind you of some promises that your offerings, your seed faith offerings, give you access to. Philippians 4, and we like to quote this scripture. Our kingdom giving connects the believer to divine promises of quality of life and quality of living that you have to decide. I'm not going to be ashamed of it because I've given, I got a right to it. See, you don't make any apologies for how you live because you understand I've been a giver, I've been a tither. This is how I'm supposed to live. I give offerings, I give to my man of God. This is how I'm supposed to live. I've got a right to Philippians 4:19. Do you have a right? Because we like to quote it. But there's a key offering that connects us to being able to access the promise. And you know, we can quote it with our eyes closed. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Yeah, because we don't read your, we be selfish. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's good. But you know what access that principle and that promise? You got to go up to verse 15. It says, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God. That lets me know if I want the all supply of God to live a first class lifestyle, I've got to be willing to give a targeted seed to the man and woman of God. And when I've given that targeted seed, that targeted offering, I stand in a position to require to have access to the promise of a first class lifestyle, not according to my riches, but according to his riches. That means I get stuff at a discount because I'm not living according to what I can wear and what I can afford, but I'm living according to his riches. So he's going to cause discount and favor to come to me so I can live at a higher level. But it doesn't stop there. Turn over to Malachi chapter 3, because if you've been wronged in a situation, the Bible says that a specific offering will cause God to get involved, and he makes a promise to judge wrongful situations. So your employer won't pay you fairly. Somebody didn't come against you. Whatever it may be, there's an. When I sow my seed, I can get God involved. There's a promise that he will judge the matter for me. Verse 4 says, then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord as in the days of old, as in former years. Verse 5 is crystal clear. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness. Not delayed, but a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right. And fear not me, said the Lord of hosts. The Message translation, he says, I will present a compelling evidence. He says, I got this covered. Your employer not paying you fairly. You don't have to hoop and holler. Just do your job. Release your faith. Sow your seed, he says, and I got this covered. I'm going to present the evidence. The Bible talks about, we read it earlier, about the promise of God, of his favor showing up, where he'll help others to help us succeed in life. Job 22 talks about the promise that's attached to us vowing and paying. And that's why you can't take that moment when we pass out the cards and we tell you to make a vow lightly, because the Bible says that when we make a vow and pay it, we can decree a thing, it shall be established unto us, and the light of God's favor will shine upon our path. He says, when you make a vow and pay a vow, I'm going to give you wisdom to gain and get access to and to accomplish that which you decreed. So whatever you said out of your mouth that you want to come to pass, when you make a vow and you pay the vow, he says, I'm going to shine the light. I'm going to bring the wisdom that you need so that you can gain access to that thing that you want. Then he makes a promise. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. Because there's the promise that's attached to the offering where he'll repay us back. The Bible says that when we give to the poor, he sees it as a personal loan and he promises to pay us back in Proverbs 19. We read it in Mark chapter 10 about the promise of an optimum hundredfold return on when we make an investment in the kingdom. The Bible talks about in Proverbs 3:9 about how that's the first fruit offering, that the first fruit offering, when we give towards that, there's a sevenfold blessing that comes upon our life, that there's a promise of an increase to save, that he'll cause our barns to be filled with plenty. So I cannot miss the moment and just do the tithe, because I'll miss out on all these other promises that are available that are attached to my offering. Are you in Ephesians chapter 6? Verse 8. It says, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. So the scripture says that not only do I get all these other promises, but what I make happen for others, God's going to make happen for me. So when I've helped somebody else's vision come to pass, I can go to God and remind God, God, I sowed a seed towards that project because that's what my bishop said to do. Now, God, here's a project that I want to come to pass. And what you make, what I made happen for a bishop, you've got to make happen for me. God, I'm sowing, I'm showing up, and I'm volunteering. So God, I thank you that you're raising up people to help my vision and my dream and my business come to pass, because that's a promise attached to the offering. But why is it that people forfeit this opportunity? They forfeit the opportunity because they underestimate the supernatural potential that's available through their offering. And I don't want you to miss the opportunity that God has available to you through your offering and underestimate its supernatural potential. Because the supernatural potential is manifested through your power of your focus, through the practice of your faith, through the partnership with the Father, and through your faithfulness. There's a supernatural potential that's attached to our giving, and it's manifested through the power of our focus. I cannot focus on the little stuff. I've got to stay focused on seeking him first. I'm not going to let something distract me and get me to forfeit giving an offering, because I understand when I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all the things that I need in life, it's going to be added unto me. The scripture says, take no thought saying what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or wherewithal shall you be clothed. I stop worrying about the little things in life and I get excited because I've got this focus that I'm going after the kingdom and God's going to take care of everything else. It's also manifested not just through the power of my focus, but through the practice of my faith. As I'm practicing in faith, I watch God show up. So now I get to make my own testimonies. It's good to hear about Bishop going into the place when we first started in North Houston and sitting in the man's office and going as far as his integrity will take him and saying, here's a check, but this check is no good, but I'll make it good in so many days. You know, putting his faith action to work. He's saying, I don't have the money right now. You know, he shared the vision. Not only did he do that, but then he told the man, one day I'm going to own this whole project. This whole complex gonna be mine. But because he was practicing in faith and because he had honored God with his offering, then the supernatural power of God showed up. And not only did the man agree to the terms, but the story goes on that the man remodeled the whole warehouse all on a bad check. On a check that was no good, he invested more in the project because Bishop and First Lady were willing to practice in faith. You got to decide, I'm not just going to keep testifying somebody else's story, but I'm going to position myself to practice in faith myself so I can have the making of a testimony. So I can look back over my life and say, you know, when I was in that situation and my credit score wasn't good, but I watched God show up because I'm practicing in faith. But it does not stop there, because not only does it's the power manifested through the power of my focus and it's manifested through my practice and faith, but it's manifested in my partnership with the Father. I appreciate you being on my side. But I understand that when I make God my partner by sowing an offering, it goes beyond the church. It goes beyond my bishop, but I got God on my side. And when God is on my side, who can be against me? 1,000 may fall on one side and 10,000 on the other side, but it shall not come nigh me. My future looks real bright because I got the partner, the God, the Father, the creator of the heavens, the God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. But I understand this requires faithfulness. I cannot do this without being faithful, because it's not good enough to just do it one time. I got to be willing to stick it out and be disciplined and keep doing it again and again. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which had great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God and keep doing the will of God, you might receive the promise. I got to be faithfully persistent in doing what God asked me to do, because when I do it again, the supernatural results show up. Oh, it's not something that I'm making up, but there's power in doing it again. It's something about doing it again. I gave once, but when I give again, watch God show up. I don't want God to stop one time. I want him to do it again. He healed me before. I want him to heal me again. I experienced breakthrough before, I want to experience it again. I watched him bless me before, I want him to bless me again. Well, if I want him to keep giving again, then I've got to be willing to give again. And when I go through the text and I look through the Bible, I find out that it's something about him doing it again. Because when I do it again, then he does it again, and I'm in this supernatural, perpetual, unstoppable grace and favor of God on my life. The Philippian church didn't stop and just do it one time. But the Bible says that they gave again, and they watched God show up supernaturally. The whole supply of God. Abraham needed wisdom for his inheritance, revelation. He gave again. I got to be willing to give again. I thank God that the prophet didn't let the widow woman stop at just giving the glass of water, but he told her, come on, baby, let's do it again. Make me a cake first. And when she did it, she watched the supernatural power of God show up in her situation. And the Bible says where she went from a place where she was about to eat her last meal and die, she had so much, she had a supernatural supply that the Bible says she was sustained, her and her house, for many days. But since I want to be like Jesus, I ought to be able to look at him and see how he gave. Not just one time, but he gave again. The Bible says that the man came and he was blind. He didn't have sight, but he gave to the man. The Bible talks about how he healed the sick, caused the lame to walk, you know, healed the lepers. He could have just stopped there and said, I've done it all. I've walked on the earth. I've showed people that God, you're a healer. God, you're a deliverer. But there in the Garden of Gethsemane, he made a decision that he was going to do it again. He gave sight to the blind. He caused the lame to walk. But then he decided that nevertheless, even though it's some bitter things that I've got to face, I'm going to give up my life again and watch healing come again. Deliverance come again. Restoration come again. Wholeness come again. If Jesus could do it again, I've got to be willing to do it again. I cannot let the situations and circumstances in my life get me to scale back on my giving of offerings and giving of my time. I got to be willing to do it again, because when I do it again, the supernatural power of God shows up. So it's not the season to scale back. But yes, I made my confession before. I'm going to keep doing it again. I gave an offering last time. I'm not going to let the enemy come in and talk me out of doing it this time, because I'm going to give again, because it's a tipping point moment in my life that's going to cause a shift to take place in my life. I'm doing it again. I may have missed the mark and got off track, and you may feel like God has forgotten about you. He hasn't forgotten about you. He's just waiting on you to say yes again. And when you say yes again, it does not put you at the back of the line, but it puts you back in line. You got to be willing to do it again. I confessed it before and passed. I didn't really see much happening. Don't stop. Just keep doing it again. Because I'm intentionally praising and glorifying God at all times, I'm expecting real soon a move of God in my life, more money in my hands than I've had in a long, long time. But Pastor, I don't see much working. Keep doing it again. Keep doing it again. Keep doing it again. And God must honor his word. He is not like man. He cannot tell a lie. If he said it, he must bring it to pass. So whether your friends like it, whether your friends don't like it, I'm going to keep doing it again because I'm intentionally praising and glorifying God at all times. I'm expecting real, real soon a move of God in my life, an outpouring on my life, more money in my hands than I've had in a long, long time. I may have went to the mailbox and I had another bill and it looks like more money is leaving my hands, but I'm not going to stop my confession because he's a God that will do it again if I do it again. So because I'm intentionally praising and glorifying God at all times, I'm expecting real, real soon a move of God in my life, more money in my hands than I've had in a long, long time. Oh, you up at that church all the time and your children just acting crazy. Baby, I'm going to keep being at the church because when I make God's kingdom a priority, he makes my world a priority. And his word says that the seed of the righteous is delivered. So I'm going to show up once again and I'm going to watch God do the supernatural in my life because I'm going to stay faithful. I'm going to be persistent. I'm going to do it again because when I'm disciplined to do it again and again and again and again and again, I will not be denied. I will too, like the Philippian church, like the widow woman, experience the supernatural breakthrough power of God on my life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you that your word has gone forth. It will minister to the hearts of your people. Our lives will never, ever be the same.